Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
Well, it's disastrous all the way around this morning. It's Canty and Carlin in for Greeny on ESPN Radio. I don't know about you. My bracket is basically in flames yet again after day one. That has happened to me five or six times in the last 7 years. And then this morning, a fender bender on the way here as I got hit by a truck. Awesome day. Let's roll. Dear God.
Got hit by a truck?
Yes. I was at a light on the West Side Highway in Manhattan, and a Penske truck, like one of those moving trucks, just slammed right into the back of my car.
And really?
That's how the day started.
Where did they go to the Holly Berry School of Driving?
Wait, the guy got out of the truck, and good poll, by the way, and actually said, "Sorry, man, I fell asleep at the wheel."
At least he was being honest. At least he was being honest.
He was.
That sucks. Yeah. So you got to deal with that your weekend?
Oh, it was a nightmare.
Yeah.
Dear God.
That's not how you want to start your Friday off. But you're here now. You made it to the studio safely. You're here. We're going to rock and roll because we got a big, big show today.
So let's make it happen, Captain.
Here we go.
Only one place to start.
The Furman Paladin shock Virginia and secure their first NCAA tournament win in 49 years.
Those are moments I've craved my whole life, and I feel like I'm built for it, and I had full belief it was going in, and it did.
It's not on me.
What is it with all of you?
It was not me.
I jump on KJM this morning. It's the first thing that they say.
Yeah.
I jump on Get Up this morning. First thing Greeny hits me with is the upset and asking me to react to it. Well, yesterday, you forced Bob Ritchie, the head coach of Furman, on me, and we had to interview him hours after they upset my alma mater. What the hell is going on with these people at ESPN? This is a conspiracy to needle Chris Canty, and I don't know when it's going to end. We had a bigger upset yesterday with Arizona falling to the Princeton Tigers, who were a 15 seed, the one Arizona Wildcats that were the favorite by Jay Billis and others to win the whole tournament. Why are we fixating on Virginia losing to Furman?
Because you're here. Because you went to Virginia, because it's a rough go. And listen, wasn't my idea. Cam Pratt, producer today, blame him.
You're complicit in it. You went along with it.
I was not complicit. I was doing what I was told. When the producer tells you to do something.
This is a rough day, Ed. And I found out that in the host sadness bracket that 98.7 is doing, that I'm losing to Peter Rosenberg. Don't know how that's happening.
Oh, dear God.
Exactly. Yeah. You're pulling off the upset against Bart Scott, and I'm losing to Rosenberg?
I don't know what to
tell you. What the hell is going on with the world?
I wish I could tell you. It's upside down. It kind of is right now. That was, by the way, the NCAA Westwood One radio network with the call of the Furman upset yesterday. Of course, you also had Princeton, as Canty alluded to, upsetting number two, and if Arizona in that region. But Canty, if it makes you feel any better, I had them playing in the championship game, so my bracket is completely in flames. Bubba had him winning the entire championship, and somehow Bubba has not made an appearance today. He is not here today. And I don't think that's any kind of coincidence.
Well, you were wrong, because it doesn't make me feel any better.
Okay.
You know what does make me feel better? That our play of the night was Duke laying a six against Oral Roberts.
That's right.
And that horse came through.
Little celebratory. Pew, pew, pew,
pew. Jonathan Gannon.
Wow. That was a nice win for you last night in the Canty and Carlin play of the night. But Canty, we do start today with Aaron Rodgers, and there are a few different things at work here. First of all, the idea that you've got the Jets and the Packers in a bit of a stare down right now and trying to figure out who needs to get this done sooner. I would argue that we are almost on equal ground. I do think that Rodgers removed a good amount of leverage from the Packers the other day with his comments, because it became clear I want to play, and I want to play for them. So you really only have one place to trade me. But the bigger point for me is I honestly believe that the Packers do have to get this done sooner, because they do not need Aaron Rodgers and just his aura hanging over this organization any longer. They need to move into the future as quickly as possible.
Yeah, we disagree on that one. I'm on the opposite end. I think the Jets have to have more urgency in consummating a deal with the Packers, because the Jets don't have an alternative at quarterback. The Green Bay Packers have their quarterback. It's Jordan Love. He's there. He's not going to miss any OTAs. He's not going to miss minicamp. He's not going to miss the starter training camp. But those are all possibilities for the Jets if they don't pay the premium that Green Bay is asking them to. Now, I don't think that it's a situation where you have to fork over Russell Wilson-type compensation or Matt Stafford compensation in the way of two first-round picks. But I do think it ultimately ends up being one premium pick, a first-round pick, and then another conditional premium pick, albeit a second-round pick, a third-round pick. It's going to be a first-round plus in order to get this deal done because the New York Jets go from being a 7-10 team to a title contender with Aaron Rodgers under center. Yesterday, Vegas updated the odds for the New York Jets on winning the Super Bowl. They now are tied with the Philadelphia Eagles for the fourth shortest odds to win the Pro Football Championship. That is because of Aaron Rodgers. And so if I'm the Green Bay Packers, I am going to make the Jets pay for that upgrade at the position because of what it means for the team.
But how long are you going to wait on that? That's my concern if I'm the Packers at this point. Am I going to let this drag on until the draft? Am I going to let it drag on beyond that?
I can wait as long as I need to. If you want to take this into training camp, it's your loss, not mine, because with Aaron Rodgers, it's a year-to-year proposition. And in order to get the most out of him in 2023, you need to have him at the start of training camp. You need to have him in the building when guys put the pads on and you're working toward building your team and building the culture that will allow you to compete for a title.
I don't buy that they're going to get a first-round pick. You know this. We've had this discussion. But I do look at this and...
Well, we got dinner on it, as a matter of fact. We got dinner at Tatiana's in Lincoln Center on it.
Which you are... going to fleece me out of if this happens. This
You fleeced yourself out of it. You're picking this first-round pick hill to die on, and I keep telling you, brother, you're wrong on this one because Green Bay has more leverage than the New York Jets. And you know how I know that's true? It's because Aaron Rodgers, when he went on McAfee, was pandering to the Green Bay Packers and saying, the franchise should do right by me because I'm an all-time great.
Dear God.
They've got to do right by me. I'm not going to play for them. I'm moving on. I want to play for the Jets. They need to do right by me by playing to their heartstrings and saying, oh, look at my body of work and what I meant to the franchise. Arguably the best player in the franchise's 100-plus year history. The only reason that you play that card is because you recognize that the team that you're going to is on the wrong side of the leverage when it comes to being able to work out a trade.
Well, this has nothing to do with do right by him.
That's what he said.
That's what he said, and it's a stupid, stupid comment because when you look at the last few years, all they have done is do right by him. This has more to do with the Packers' responsibility to get as much as they can, yes, but to get out from under this. But I do wonder, Canty, about the idea that getting revenge on the Packers, that somehow Aaron Rodgers is now going to be exceptionally motivated just for that. I know what he did after Jordan Love was drafted and went out and won back-to-back MVPs. Mm. This is 3 years later. This is a 39-year-old Aaron Rodgers, who I think we could agree, when you look at the last 3 years in particular, the importance of football in his life has shifted. It's not anywhere near the same level of importance that being more enlightened than everybody else is right now and trying to find the meaning of life himself. I don't care that he could say how motivated he's going to be. How he will show that is by showing up to all the offseason stuff, by doing everything he can to ingratiate himself with an exceptionally young offense to show that he's going to be the leader, and making sure that through his actions everybody understands that winning is first and foremost for the next 9 months through the end of the season.
I don't want to question his commitment to being the best version of himself. Here's the thing. Different players need different things throughout the offseason. And it's hard for me to question his commitment to the game after seeing what this guy did. I mean, Carlin, this team went three consecutive years of winning 13 games. Mm-hmm. They went to back-to-back NFC championship games. He's won back-to-back MVPs. You don't do that without being committed to your craft. Now, is he committed to a team-first agenda? That's up for debate. And you wonder how that plays when you're talking about a young core of guys in the locker room for the New York Jets. But if you're Rob Saleh and Joe Douglas, what you want to do is find out as soon as possible by getting him in the building sooner rather than later. And that's why I believe the Jets should pay a premium, because not only are you asking Aaron Rodgers to bring more than competent quarterback play, but you're asking him to infuse a little bit of championship DNA into a locker room that doesn't have a lot of guys that understand what postseason football is all about. And when you're competing for a championship, especially on a truncated timetable, there is going to be a huge learning curve. You have to figure out different ways to win when it matters most. You just don't go from being a perennial loser and outside of the playoffs to winning a championship. The Cincinnati Bengals came close, but again, we saw in the second half of that Super Bowl a couple of years ago, the team that had been there more recently was able to make the requisite plays that it took to win the game. And so if you're the New York Jets, you got to have the guy in the building sooner rather than later, if for no other reason, to make sure that he helps to transform the culture and establish the sense of urgency that it takes to win a chip.
To what level do you believe Rodgers is going to play next year?
Here's the thing. I don't think he has to be an MVP for the Jets to be a title contender.
Neither do I.
I don't. I mean, think about this. The New York Jets had 11 games where they scored under league average, which was 21 points. Aaron Rodgers, over the last 3 years, has only had 12 such games. Out of 53 possible games, his team has only scored under 21 points 12 times. If Aaron Rodgers can just bring that to the New York Jets, you're talking about a team that overnight goes to an 11 or 12 win squad, probably the favorites in the NFC East, and one of the three or four teams that I would say out of the AFC that can get to the Super Bowl.
I don't know if they can get to the Super Bowl with him. I don't expect him to play at an MVP level. I don't expect him to play at a better level than he did last year, because it was a dramatic fall off, and I don't know where. I'm pretty comfortable questioning commitment levels at this point. And the reason is, what the Packers basically leaked out there at the end of the season, which was, he didn't come in shape. He wasn't ready to go. And people might be doing that because they have agendas at this point.
Oh, no doubt. There are some hard feelings in that building toward Aaron Rodgers.
There should be, when they have capitulated to him as much as they have over the last few years. I think Aaron Rodgers is going to go out. He'll play well. The Jets will be a playoff team, but nothing more than that. Nothing more than that. I don't expect him to elevate this team, because I don't expect, frankly, no matter how motivated he says he is, that the commitment level is going to be at all-time high.
Well, I will say this. The last time that Aaron Rodgers ran with a defense this good, he won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, that was 12 years ago.
Yeah, the last time he's had a defense as good as the Jets' defense, he won a Super Bowl.
Greeny, presented by Progressive Insurance. Looking for a career path with flexibility, great pay, and benefits. Go to progressive.com/careers. Apply online today. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. What are your expectations for Aaron Rodgers this coming season? What are your expectations if you're a Jet fan? And who blinks first, the Packers or the Jets? Who needs to? 888-729-3776. The lines are open in just moments. Canty and Carlin, ESPN Radio, we are in for Greeny today. On the way, one of Lamar Jackson's former teammates also spoke in his favor this week. You will hear from him in moments. And our NFL insider joins us on set next. It's Greeny on ESPN Radio.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Greeny, the podcast.
I made it clear that my intention was to play, and my intention was to play for the New York Jets.
Do you envision yourself playing multiple years with the Jets, or is it just a one-year type thing?
Be adults, settle it clearly, keep the kids in mind, and move on.
How long before he actually is in New York? We asked Dan Graziano that question in just 30 seconds. It's Canty and Carlin in for Greeny on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80. Dan Graziano, ESPN NFL insider, joins us on set right now. All right, so how long do you think it will be before Aaron Rodgers is actually in New York?
I mean, the first inflection point is the draft, right? Like, if there's no deal by the draft, then it can go a little longer because now you're talking about picks in 2024 later. Then you got that June 1st date where the Packers would save money on this year's cap if they waited till after then to trade him. So it could theoretically – I don't think it'll take that long. I really don't. Like, I think both sides are motivated to do a deal. My understanding is they're still having conversations, right? They haven't, like, reached an impasse or called off talks. So I think everybody wants the same thing in the end, and I think they'll probably get that. When? I don't know. Next week? Week after? I don't know. I think it's good, though. I think it's given us – the week's been good because we had speculation about what would happen, and then he announced something, and now we're like, talking about when. Like, this story has paced itself well. From a content generation standpoint.
And really, that's all it's about. And is we care about
who else.
Yeah, we're rooting for us.
Exactly.
That's the most important thing. Graz, assuming that this deal eventually gets done with Aaron Rodgers, is there an understood playoff mandate from Woody Johnson to his head coach and general manager?
Like, I think so. I mean, why would you do this other than to make – Greeny was saying that they haven't had a home playoff game in 20 years.
Dear God.
Like, if you're the owner of the team, a home playoff game is like, that's like finding gold, right?
Sure.
Like you got it. So, yes, playoffs, I would think bare minimum would be the expectation. Why else would you do this? I mean, you're going to get attention, yeah, but no, I think from a football standpoint, this is an effort to say we've got a good young roster that contended all year, right into December, till it fizzled out at the end, with basically no production at all from the quarterback spot. Let's go get one of the greatest of all time and see if we can make a real run at this thing.
So if you don't make the playoffs, they're probably not going to be around in 2024.
That's a good question. I don't know. I mean, I know the offensive coordinator is a favorite of the new quarterback, so as long as he's there, it probably protects him. But yeah.
head coach and general manager, not so much.
Yeah, don't say that. It diminishes him as a coach, Dan. Come on, let's not do that.
It's not what I meant, but yeah, I understand. Yeah.
It's Dan Graziano, ESPN NFL insider, joining us. Canty and Carlin in for Greeny on ESPN Radio. Do you buy into the notion that Aaron Rodgers is going to be now super motivated because he's once again annoyed with how the Packers have treated him?
I don't feel comfortable getting inside that particular head and trying to figure out how things work. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I think it's plausible, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, he seems to be someone who carries chips on his shoulder and uses them to great effect. He had the two worst QBR seasons of his career prior to the year they drafted Jordan Love, and then he won MVP back-to-back. So, you know, something woke him up. And maybe this is, like, I don't know, is it a slight? I guess he's talking the other day about the Packers wanted to move on, and he kept saying, that's fine. But you can tell, obviously, it's not great. So, yeah, I think it's entirely possible. Even if it wasn't, like, just moving to a new place after so long in one place, I think it has a sort of rejuvenating effect. And last year, his thumb was broken, right? He's playing with rookie wide receivers. There's all kinds of reasons last year went south on Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. And by the way, they still had a shot to make the playoffs on the last week of the season.
Talking with ESPN NFL insider Dan Graziano on Greeny. And Dan, the other big quarterback story of the offseason is Lamar Jackson. Mm-hmm. And his former teammate Orlando Brown Jr. was here on Get Up yesterday and had some interesting things to say about Lamar. And Lamar seemingly co-signed it with what he had to say on Twitter. Take a listen.
I do believe that he deserves a fully guaranteed contract. And no matter what anyone's saying around the league, no matter what anyone's saying, I believe that that's the point and narrative that we need to push as players to get to what we want. And I believe that in the NBA, there's a reason that it's so exciting. There's a reason that all of these guys are able to team up and so many players have control, and why it's been able, the game of basketball has been able to shape into what it's been able to shape into because of the freedom once you get to the professional level of truly being who you are and going out to, you could say, chase what you want.
Dan, are NFL owners afraid of that happening, yes, creating the same dynamic that NBA players and NBA owners experience? And if that's the case, is Lamar Jackson headed down the road of a holdout?
The answer to your first question is yes. The NFL's team owners do not want their league to become the NBA, where players can make their own arrangements like Orlando Brown is talking about, to the extent that they do in the NBA. That is a big concern. Power and control is at the heart of almost every dispute in the world. And certainly in this case, the owners want to maintain the power and control in their own league. So they keep having this funding rule where you have to hold guaranteed money in escrow. It's like an outdated rule from 50 years ago when there was some concern about whether the league would make it.
Yeah, and whether players would get
paid. Good there. Yeah. And so in terms of Lamar Jackson, look, I actually think what the Ravens did here with the non-exclusive tag was smart. You're at an impasse in negotiations. You're not making any progress. You say, all right, look, go find it. If you really think that deal's out there for you, go get it. And then bring it back to us. And if you were right and we were wrong, we'll talk about matching it, and everybody's happy. And if it's not out there, then maybe come talk to us about our deal, which is, we think, you know, a good offer. Like, it shows that we like you a lot. So I think we're at the beginning of that process. In terms of a holdout, I don't know. Like, if he doesn't get the kind of interest from other teams that he imagines he will, if he's not getting those kinds of contract offers from other teams that he's trying to get from the Ravens, then would he just leave? Would he take the same offer from somebody else that the Ravens are giving him just because he's mad at them? I don't know that answer. I think that's, you know, Lamar Jackson, it's up to him to decide, and I don't know that he has.
And I'm curious to see how other potential quarterback contract extensions could weigh in between the time that Lamar Jackson decides what he wants to do and what the Ravens want to do. You're talking about Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow, and Jalen Hurts all being first-time contract extension eligible.
Yes.
If those guys pick the fully guaranteed contract hill to die on with their teams, and one of those teams bites – then how does that impact negotiations with Lamar and the Baltimore Ravens?
Well, it helps Lamar. I mean, like, that's – but it never happens. Like, like, you know, since Lamar couldn't get a deal done last year, we've seen Aaron Rodgers do a deal, not fully guaranteed. Russell Wilson do a deal, not fully guaranteed. Derek Carr did two of them, not fully guaranteed. If Orlando Brown is right. If it's ever going to happen, it's going to be these guys that do it, the top-end quarterbacks, when they have the leverage. And other than Kirk Cousins, you don't see it. Deshaun Watson didn't do it. He did not go out seeking a fully guaranteed contract. He told the Browns he didn't want to play for them, and the Browns came back with an offer he couldn't refuse. So that's not a hill that, other than Kirk Cousins, anyone has chosen to die on. And so if Lamar succeeds, that's to the benefit of other, not just quarterbacks, but other players around the league. Because, like, people want to beat him up, like, on the collective bargaining. There's nothing in the Major League Baseball collective bargaining agreement that mandates fully guaranteed contracts. There's nothing in the NBA's collective bargaining agreement. It's players somewhere along the line demanded it, and it therefore became the standard. And that has not happened in the NFL, mainly because the quarterbacks don't push it. And until that happens, then it won't be a thing.
You know, just as a final thought on it, I do wonder if some of those deals get done.
Yeah.
If he tries to work out a deal with the Ravens and says, listen, I'll sign the tag, but you can't tag me next year.
Well, that's a possibility. Yeah. Yes. But would the Ravens agree to that? What do they get in return other than he shows up?
Yeah, I don't know that Lamar Jackson's going to sign up to play for $32 million when you've got $133 guaranteed on the table by Baltimore.
But if you can get $200 next year.
Right.
Yeah, no.
So that's the thing, right? And in the meantime, he's going to be able to survey the market. Like, he's going to – he can talk to teams right now.
Sure.
And he might be able to say, like, I talked to some team and I'm in their plans for next year. So maybe I'll sign the tag and do that. Or maybe I'll negotiate a one-year $50 million deal with Baltimore that like Chris says, includes a no franchise clause. Yeah. There's a lot of different ways this can still shake out.
Danny, great stuff. We appreciate it, man.
All right. Their tweet said, can't be mad about Diaz. That was in your preview for the show. Yes. I can be as mad as I want about Edwin Diaz missing the season. Just FYI. I just wanted to make sure and put that out there. Just wanted to get that clear.
Very sad situation with Diaz, for sure. And I do feel for you as a Met fan. It is.
What are you going to do?
Met's going to Met. It's going to happen. Can't you? Carlin,
they're not used to nice things.
Yeah, it's too bad. I don't even know what to say anymore when it comes to things like that.
No, it's a shame.
ESPN Radio, it is Canty and Carlin in for Greeny. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Nature Valley wants to see you and your family out there. When we share our love for out there, we inspire others to protect it. And that's what getting out there is all about. Nature Valley, life happens out there. We are loaded on the phone line, so let's do it. Tino is up first on ESPN Radio. Tino, what's going on, dude?
Carlin, how are you? Chris, how are you, gentlemen?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing well. Carlin, listen, I'm a diehard Jet fan. I'm 43 years old, and in my lifetime, I never experienced any competent quarterback play. The best quarterback play we've gotten as Jet fans, and I went to both of those games when we beat Tom Brady, was with Mark Sanchez in New England, and then we lost to Pittsburgh against Ben Roethlisberger. That's the excitement I've had as a Jet fan. Mm-hmm. We've had nothing as a Jet fan. So you're trying to tell me we bring in a legend like Aaron Rodgers, even on a down year last year, he still threw for almost 3,700 yards, 26 touchdowns, and 12 interceptions. If we had that last year as a Jet quarterback, we would have made the playoffs last year.
I understand that, but this is my point. Tino, I feel like you as Jet fans are setting the bar a little too low on what your expectations are based on what the last 10 to 12 years have done to you, and thanks for the call. Canty, the line can't be, let's just make the playoffs and I'll be happy. The line for where this Jet team is right now, with as good as this defense is right now, with as good as their weapons are right now, should be for the next couple of years, let's win a damn Super Bowl. It just can't all be based in the fact that it's been misery since those two AFC championships.
Well, the fans are desperate, and they've seen
and
this,
I get that.
They've seen this movie before, a high-profile quarterback from Green Bay coming over to the Jets. It didn't work out. Brett Favre got hurt late in that season, and it ultimately ended up spiraling. Now, you think that things would be different with a highly motivated Aaron Rodgers and a lot of naysayers out there adding fuel to the fire. But we'll have to wait and see, man. This is a really truncated timetable in terms of putting this thing together, getting Rodgers acclimated to a new environment with new teammates and getting those guys adjusted to a new offense, assuming that Nathaniel Hackett is going to employ the system that they had in Green Bay. They're putting a lot together in a short period of time. And so the margin for error is slim to none. And while, you know, making this deal official continues to hang in the balance, I just think you have to do as many things as you possibly can if you're the New York Jets to give yourself the chance for the best possible outcome.
Mark, and Mark is up next in Jersey on ESPN Radio. Mark, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing, guys? I just wanted to talk regarding the Aaron Rodgers trade. Pretty much my expectations, if they don't make the AFC Championship game, Super Bowl appearance, I think it'd be a disappointment. You're giving away money, giving away picks. And I think with this defense and these weapons, I think it's possible. I don't know. Am I crazy to think that? Most people are telling me I'm crazy, but maybe I'm
no,
just
No, I don't think you are. And this is why the smarter play is Lamar Jackson. And you can say whatever you want about injuries. You can say whatever you want about giving up draft picks. If the Ravens hadn't screwed it up, and had given him that contract, and they had gotten it done before last year or sometime earlier than that, for the amount of time that they've had to get it done, I'm willing to bet you that at the end of last year, he would have been playing. And I'm not saying he tanked it at the end of the season, but the guy went out there and played last year on the last year of his deal with no guarantees in front of him, and he got hurt.
Then they're using the injury as a pushback when it comes to what he wants in the contract.
And he was damned if he did, damned if he didn't.
Yeah.
If he went out there and played poorly, they would have blamed him for that.
If he went out there and played and further injured himself.
Yes.
They would have blamed him for that.
And they end up blaming him for not playing.
So let me throw this out there for you.
I'd rather have that.
Let me throw this out there for you. And I know we're on different sides of this thing in terms of what the ultimate compensation for Rodgers will be going back to the Packers. But assuming it's closer to what I'm suggesting, which is two premium picks. So say a first-round pick and a conditional second-round pick if he's on the roster in 2024. If that's the compensation, Do you think the Jets are better off going to get Lamar Jackson and giving the Ravens two ones, signing Jackson to an offer sheet? Or should they roll with Aaron Rodgers the next 2 years and give it up a first and second rounder?
They should absolutely go and sign Jackson to an offer sheet. Wow. Absolutely, I would do that. Two ones as opposed to a one and a two for a guy that may only play 1 year.
No, I'm saying if he plays 2 years, it'll be a one and a two.
Can you tell me how committed he's going to be? I don't know if anybody can tell us how committed he's going to be. That's my issue. I still would go get Jackson.
Okay.
Because, and the other reason is, Chris, we're talking about 3, 4, 5 years of greatness as opposed to just that. Canty and Carlin in for Greeny on ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save nearly $700 on average. Call or click today and find out if they can save you hundreds on your car insurance. We have got a new front runner in the NBA MVP conversation.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Greeny, the podcast.
Murray has it on the high left side. He gets a Jokic pick, goes the opposite way, throws it to Joker. Joker, spin move on Wiseman, gets in the paint, turnaround hook shot, up, in, left-handed won't go, tip won't go, got his own board, put it back up and in.
On the Altitude Radio Network, off night for the Joker, only 30-10-9.
It's nice to see him redeemed himself after he sold himself against the Toronto Raptors earlier in the week.
Listen to you.
I'm just saying. I mean, it's great that he put up a great game against the team with the worst record in the league. Congratulations.
Well,
let me give him the old golf clap.
He was in the zone last night with those 30 points and a 119-100 win over the Pistons. In the zone, brought to you by AutoZone. Get in the zone, AutoZone. Canty and Carlin in for Greeny on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. And just a couple of weeks ago, he was minus 300, a decided favorite to win the NBA's MVP award. And all of a sudden, in just a short couple of weeks, Joel Embiid is now the favorite at minus 115. You've got Nikola Jokic at plus 100 and Giannis at plus 300. So who is the MVP right now? We asked that question to ESPN NBA analyst Tim Legler yesterday on Canty and Carlin.
Joel Embiid is in the discussion and will get votes for Defensive Player of the Year. Nikola Jokic will never get votes for Defensive Player of the Year. And that's why I said, you know what? We need to put a little bit more stock into how much the game is being affected in the paint defensively, and Embiid does those things. And that's why I think by a nose here at the finish, that for me would be enough to cast my vote for Joel Embiid.
You know, Embiid has done such an amazing job to not get back into this, but to catch people's attention when it looked like Jokic was headed for that third consecutive MVP. Chris, Embiid is leading the league in scoring right now. You have talked so much about his defensive presence and what he means. I have a feeling that he's going to end up winning this award. I really, though, when I look at it overall, I can't rule Giannis out either with what the Bucks have been this year.
Yeah, I mean, the Bucks have the best record in the strongest of the two conferences in the entire NBA. So, yeah, you can't rule out Giannis, especially with what we've seen him doing this week. So he's always going to be a part of the conversation because I think he's the best player in the world right now. He's the one that's wearing the crown. But if we're looking at this season, Joel Embiid, because of the amount of games that he's played in and his impact for his team's success on both sides of the court, I think he's the guy that ultimately brings home the hardware for MVP. As much as I respect what Jokic is doing, his playmaking, his shot creation for his teammates, the guy is not just a net neutral, but he's a liability on the defensive end of the court. And don't bring the advanced metrics in the defensive box plus minus, because we all know that those stats are misleading when it comes to measuring a player's impact defensively. I don't need the metrics to show me that Joel Embiid is a hell of a player on defense. All you have to do is look at his performance against the Cleveland Cavaliers. Not only the 36 points, but the 18 rebounds, which is when a defensive possession ends, And then also the four blocks that he had. I mean, you're talking about him blocking Evan Mobley, a really good young center in this league, at the rim on a dunk attempt. That's how dominant Joel Embiid is. And so when you have a guy that can affect the game in that way and make it easier for his teammates on the defensive side of the court, along with being one of the best pure scorers in the game today, how could you not give him the MVP?
Yeah, look.
I mean, records matter too, big fella. And right now, they have virtually the same record, the Denver Nuggets and the Philadelphia 76ers. And you're talking about Philly playing in the tougher of the two conferences.
You think Jokic, or rather, you think the Sixers are going to win the Eastern Conference? You think the Sixers are breaking through this year?
Yeah, I think this is the year they break through.
I have felt for the last several years that this needs to be reevaluated and have the postseason count toward the MVP. Because, Chris, I know a lot of people don't see it this way. I am a traditionalist when it comes to this. MVP means most valuable player. And to me, you could extend that sentence to his team's success. There is no question that if it was voted on after the season the last 2 years, Jokic would not have won. Not when you get bounced in the second and first rounds, respectively. No. Jokic ran away with it 2 years ago with 91% of the vote. And then last year, still had 65% to Embiid's 28. It caught up with him a little bit, but Chris, I truly want to see what a team does in the postseason. They don't have to go and win a championship, but they do have to acquit themselves reasonably well when they have somebody who's being considered for MVP.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. We haven't seen Jokic in the conference finals since he started winning MVPs, and this guy was assumed a few weeks ago to be on the verge of winning three consecutive MVPs. So to me, yeah, postseason success has to matter. Being at your best when your best is required. That's how you judge competitive greatness. That's how you judge, you know, the best from the rest. I mean, the special moments that players are able to make in the postseason, that's where you build your legacy. And when we start to evaluate players, we have to look at it through that lens of what do these MVPs mean for their place in the pantheon of the all-time greats.
With Jokic, it is a lot of numbers that are great numbers, but it feels like at times there is some padding going on there. And for me, I hate that, even though the Nuggets have been as good as they are. In moments, is your bracket on fire yet? We'll talk to you about the tournament with Jay Billis.
Thanks for listening to Greeny the Podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Or watch the show through the Watch tab on the ESPN app. Also catch Greeny on Get Up, weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN. And also available wherever you get your podcast.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.